Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, July 6th, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guests are three wonderfully talented gentlemen. First up, we have Edmund Jones. He joins us to talk about his new book, The Nerdy Homecoming King. And in the second segment of the show, I talk with Dr. Truman Hudson Jr. of the Be Me Community and Chris Rutherford of Broadside Lotus Press about the Notice to POTUS Essay, Poetry, and Spoken Word Contest for Youth. And first up on the show is Edmund Jones, who was blessed with a fantastic teenage experience despite living in a rough neighborhood and fighting a tough battle with acne. Edmund managed to lead an incredible teen life. Believing college was his way out of the hood, Edmund had one simple plan: to earn a scholarship to the University of Michigan by becoming the valedictorian. Not only did he accomplish this, but he managed to grow spiritually, have a long-term relationship, and earn an income while in high school. Edmund also learned that the hood was the best learning ground for testing merit and developing personal strength. Edmund began to explore writing when he won a year's worth of movie tickets for an essay he wrote in high school. Since then, he has written several essays, poems, short stories, and plays. As a playwright, Edmund is a two-time winner of the Heck Rabbi Playwright Festival, and he has had his plays produced at various venues around the country. Edmund is compelled to help teens master their circumstances. He has been accomplishing this goal primarily as a theater instructor to young people in the Metro Detroit area for over a decade. He also runs an entertainment company with his wife and crew, and he continues to teach, speak, and lead workshops on various topics within his expertise. And do I have Edmund Jones on the line with me?
Absolutely. So delighted to be here once again.
So delighted to have you. Thank you so much for being with me, Edmund. And so one of the first things, getting ready to talk about the website here, so one of the first things you see when you visit the nerdyhomecomingking.com are the words, "Conquer High School," and "Don't You Wish High School Came with an Instruction Manual." So let's talk about those two concepts. First of all, can a teen really conquer high school? Is that what we find out in this book?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can see the biggest struggle is finding that balance between being a good student, having a good time as well, and creating, you know, a lot of relationships from a social standpoint. A lot of times, especially in entertainment and the media, we've been presented with an either or. Either you are a great student, but you're labeled a lame or a nerd, you can't be cool. Or you're cool and you're popular, but it's not necessarily a great thing to be doing great in school, having good grades in order to have that status. Or, you know, people really like to categorize people in high school, especially other high school students. You want to put people in boxes. And so what I want to challenge is that there are a lot of students now who are finding a way to have it all, to be very good in school, to have wonderful relationships with their teachers and their fellow classmates, to be popular. And also want to point out that having a wonderful spiritual life as well. You know, I think we're, as Stephen Covey put it, we're four people at the same time. You know, we're the people we love, we are how we learn, we are our spiritual element, and we are our physical element as well. And so those are the four elements that I try to discuss in through the narrative of the Nerdy Homecoming King. It's really funny. Whenever I tell people what the book is about, specifically anyone my age or a little bit older, they say, "Man, where was this at when I was in high school?" That's what inspired me to put that on the website.
Right. I like that the concept that you mentioned about the students who are finding that they can have it all. That's not something that you normally hear about for students, for young people. You hear about it, you know, there's that the trend with adults, you can have it all. As for women, you can have it all. But that's not something you talk about or you hear about with teens, because it seems, you know, we tend to limit teens as to what they can have sometimes. And so what you're talking about is broadening everybody's horizon on what teens can actually have and achieve.
Absolutely. And nowadays, especially with the advent of the internet, we're looking at teenage millionaires now more than ever. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of I'm a teen and, you know, I'm under my parents' household, I'm not really in control of my destiny, school is my, you know, I'm a slave to school, that's just no longer true. It's no longer true. And that's another thing that I really want to point out in with a lot of the concepts in the book is this idea of teen independence. And to just because you're a teenager doesn't mean that you can't be in control of your destiny. There are several instances where young people have sued for their independence at 16, 17 years old before they were 18 because they felt like their parents weren't getting the job done. And they've gone on to have fantastic lives. And so I think my big goal, especially in the inner city schools and with young people in metropolitan areas around the country, I think they feel like they aren't empowered to take control of their destiny in a lot of ways. And I want to combat that. I want to say that's not necessarily so.
Right. So your bio reads that you attended a high school in the hood. What high school did you go to?
I went to Laura F. Osborne High School
on
the east side of Detroit, 48205. Mm. From what I've heard, I've heard instances of it being the most dangerous zip code in America. And so, yeah, you know, we've made the national news for all the wrong reasons. But at the same time, I had some of the most dedicated teachers in the world.
Mm.
You know, they had to be. They had to be to show up to that kind of environment day in and day out. And once they find a student, they found a student like me who was just hungry, they just swooped in on me and they loved me and it was awesome. And it was really funny, too, because I really tried to go with a giving spirit. I always got that from my mother. And so I would tutor some of the football players, right? And so they would protect me. If some of the gangbangers or whatever would try to mess with me, they like, no, don't mess with smart guy. We got him. So, you know, I wasn't a particularly big guy. You know, I could run fast, but it was just interesting how that – hostile environment turned into a very nourishing one.
Right. And so I have so many questions and we don't have a whole lot of time, but how were you able to turn that hostile environment into a nurturing one for you? I mean, one thing you did say is that you went in with a giving spirit.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's something that I've really tested, you know, give a lot of credit to my mother. She's just a wonderful, loving spirit, and she always taught me that in order to get, you have to give. And so just going in with that and being attentive in class and really paying attention to the teachers and giving them my attention, I built some really great relationships with my teachers that way, and it's nice to be nice. And so you be nice to everyone, and you know you'd be surprised at how that accumulates over time. A lot of these things are implemented, woven into the story of the narrative is I would have quiet times in the morning. That was my spiritual time where I would go and I'd meditate and I'd think about the good things that I want to happen that day. And I'd read some kind of uplifting text or the Bible. And so I always had something positive on my mind before I walked through those doors. That was vital. It's just to ruminate on something that was good, something that was beautiful, that was awesome, before I went through those doors. And so I kind of had rose tinted glasses. I didn't see what everybody saw. It was a cool place to me. And I think, you know, as within, so without, as above, so below, as they say, I think I really lived that. And so I had a vastly different experience than maybe, you know, somebody who might have been sitting right next to me in English class.
Wow. That is such a great perspective. And you have, you seem to have so many good memories of your high school experience, I could say. But just to dig a little bit deeper into the book, there are 26 chapters. And
yes.
It's not necessarily a book full of tips, I gather, but it gets kind of juicy. Can you give three things you want high schoolers to know from your book that can help them to succeed? Just a little taste.
Absolutely. Number one, I would say always do more than you're paid for. And I know a lot of kids are like, I'm going to high school. Ain't nobody paying me. But I want to point out that college is very expensive, you know. On average, 4 years can be up to close to $100,000 for a major university. Well, if you take care of business in high school and you get a scholarship, full ride tuition, that's about $100,000. So the way I see it is you're getting paid to go to high school. And so how do you do more than you're paid for? Well, every time there's extra credit, go for it, you know. Do the work ahead of time. Volunteer at school whenever there's events and stuff, because ultimately the colleges want to see that you're a well-rounded student. They don't just want to see that you're a great athlete or that you're, you know, even just a math whiz. They want to see that you're going to bring several things to the table to their university, either as a leader or with these other skill sets that you have. And then ultimately they want to see you blossom into an ultimate individual who's going to give a lot of money back to the university. So they want to see that, they want to see that potential. So number one, I would say do more than you're paid for. Number two, I would say nothing can replace, stop persistence. It's such a simple word, and it's maybe lost a little bit of its luster or what it really means. But really look that word up. Look that word up, persistence. And just, I mean, you can, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I think that is a really important thing. And then the third thing I would have to say is, as Stephen Covey calls it, sharpen the saw. You got to take time to take care of your body. You have to eat well. You have to sleep. You have to exercise. You have to spend time on your spirit, whatever that means for you. Whether it's meditating or making sure you participate in your religious activities, you have to take care of yourself, because that's the only way you're going to have the energy to have the persistence and the energy to go the extra mile is if you're taking care of yourself.
Those are three wonderful points, and then you almost have to start with this book, getting this book to middle schoolers before they actually get into high school, so that they can have these tools to succeed. Because who thinks about getting a scholarship when you're in middle school and just getting ready to go into high school?
Exactly. I'm so glad you said that. I was very fortunate. The Service Learning Academy, which is a school district in and of itself, actually purchased my book for their entire school district, for all their 8th graders. And I am so fired up, because that's precisely what I'm doing. I'm going to middle schools, going to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, because part of the reason why I even knew what a valedictorian was when I started high school is because I went to my cousin's graduation when I was in 8th grade. And and I saw this person. It was like, that's the smartest person in the school. What is a valedictorian? I never even heard that word before. So if you hadn't been exposed to it, you know, there's no way for you to kind of go after that goal. So, yes, I'm glad you pointed that out. That is absolutely in my mission. That's absolutely what I'm doing personally, is going out and talking to young people in middle school to say, hey, if you start thinking about this now, this has ramifications for the rest of your life. Because, unfortunately, I have friends and family who are loaded down with student debt. And, you know.
Right. Yep. That's a. That's such a good point. That student debt and these scholarships that they can get are so important. And many of our kids don't know that scholarships are available. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, our time is up. I've got to get my second set of guests in. But thank you so much. Your website is thenerdyhomecomingking.com. Do you have any book signings coming up, Edmund?
Absolutely. August 6th at the Detroit Shop at the Somerset Collection. We'll be there from noon to 4. Hope to see you there.
Okay,
thank you so
wonderful.
Much for having me
You're
on the
so
show.
Welcome.
Thank you for doing this for Detroit. You are awesome.
You're welcome. Thank you for being there. I appreciate you.
All right. Have a lovely day.
All right. Okay, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next up on Michigan Literary Network Radio are two gentlemen doing great work in Detroit and surrounding areas. We have Dr. Truman Hudson, Jr. and of Be Me Community and Chris Rutherford of Broadside Lotus Press. And they are here to talk about the Notice to POTUS Essay, Poetry, and Spoken Word Contest for Youth. And do I have my two gentlemen on the line with me?
Absolutely. Good afternoon.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you both?
Fantastic.
Doing awesome, Andy. Thank you for having us on the show.
You are so welcome. Dr. Hudson, I'm going to start with you. First, tell us what Be Me Community is, because you gentlemen are representing two different entities, and I want people to know what you both represent. First, start out with Be Me Community.
Well, Be Me Community is a national movement that is working on building up the narrative that black males are doing great things in our country, and formed back in 2012 with some resources from the John L. and the John James S. Knight Foundation. Be Me has been able to fund 165 men around the country that have been doing wondrous projects. Those 165 men have been able to secure 400,000 volunteers to support their work on the ground, activities that range from education, mentoring, social entrepreneurship, and other community building efforts. And Brother Rutherford is one of our local leaders in Detroit that's doing some phenomenal things as well. So he's representative of the type of things that we do.
Okay, excellent. And Chris Rutherford, you are with Broadside Lotus Press, one of the oldest and longest running black run publishing houses for poetry in the country, and I want to thank you for doing what you do. But, gentlemen, why this particular contest?
Go ahead, Truman.
Well, I think picking up on the call that we just got off of with Mr. Edmund Jones, I think it's apropos that we had this conversation around engaging our youth in discussions of what the next presidential candidate or the next presidential leader should do in the United States of America, considering the situations that are occurring with black men are being killed, black lives do matter. So some of our prompts actually are thought-provoking and provocative discussions that we want youth to actually give their voices to the president on what they think should be done. And a partnership with Broadside Lotus Press also puts us in a position where we get these winners, and these winners are able to get their works published. And going back to what Edmund Jones stated, this is an opportunity for youth to actually win scholarships and help defer some of that debt that they would have to pay to go to college.
Okay, excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, I was just saying, as for Broadside, it's an excellent opportunity for us to partner with an organization that's a national leader right now in changing the narrative of black males and changing the landscape of how we not only see ourselves. And it fits right in line. In fact, Be Me has helped Broadside launch its Black Genius in the 21st Century, which we will continue. And so, but it fits right in, even your first guest, the brother that was on, Edmund. And just that whole concept of returning to our legacy of genius. And we have some very articulate, thinking young people in our community. Mm-hmm. And we want to, this opportunity to provide them with the voice for the next leader of this country. It's just something that Broadside needs to be a part of as we work in partnership to elevate those voices of the next generation and to celebrate the genius that are within those voices. It speaks to Broadside's legacy, and it speaks to also Broadside's future. So it's an excellent opportunity for us to participate.
Excellent. And I must say that event, I think it was last year, the Black Genius in the 21st Century that you held at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History was so wonderful and so inspiring. And so I'm glad to hear that you're continuing that. And I think what you said about youth being able to share their voices in this whole concept is an excellent thing. So the Notice to POTUS Essay, Poetry, and Spoken Word Contest for youth, what are you looking for? I mean, the kids are going to be able to submit their essays and their poetry. How should they formulate their thoughts? What kind of pieces should they be looking for to submit?
Well, we're looking at youth ages 14 to 24 that are part of the iGen generation. That's the first thing that we're looking for. And we also want them to think out of the box and come up with responses to the 7 prompts that we have. We've identified 7 prompts from students around the country that resonate with them as the core issues. So one is public school reform. Another is college affordability and college for all, employment opportunities, as well as police brutality and justice reform, Black Lives Matter, immigration, as well as national security. So we have these 7 prompts, and if they go to bemecommunity.org or if they go to notice, N-O-T-I-C-E, the number 2, POTUS, POTUS.com, they'll be able to go on the website and they'll be able to see all of the instructions for submitting their essays, spoken word performances, as well as poems. But in a nutshell,
okay,
we're looking for 700 to 1,200 words max for each category. So they can submit up to at minimum of 2 poems, but at minimum of 2 performances, 3 minutes in performance with their voices on these core issues.
Okay, so they can submit a video for the spoken word part, but they can submit a video to show their performance style.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is there and I know there's a deadline. What is the deadline?
Friday, July the 15th.
July the 15th. So there's still time. One of the criteria, one of the things that we look at, and we want people, you know, we want the young people to take serious, is having a nominating mentor. And that allows them to put their best foot forward. And and so we want them to be sure that they're working with somebody to help them, you know, craft. Whether it be a mentor in the sense of, you know, an older person or someone who's just more experienced in this process than they are, we want them to also, you know, to make sure that they do that as well. We want them to put their best foot forward because, as Dr. Hudson said, if you win, you're going to be on a national stage, and so we want to make sure that they have every opportunity to represent the best of and the excellence that we know that's in our community. So.
Excellent. I like the concept of the nominating mentor because, you know, some young people don't necessarily have to do everything by themselves. Do you all recommend mentors for this, or if the children already have one, they can certainly use that person, but can you all recommend a mentor for this particular purpose?
Now, at Broadside, we do, you know, take on projects where we work with young people. For this event, if they would like for maybe some members of the board to maybe, you know, edit some of their work or things like that, you know, they are, you know, welcome to submit those things to us at broadsidelotus@gmail.com. And we were welcome to we're always welcome to look over people's works. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little they get a little lengthy in what people send. We can generally give, you know, we have several of our board members are not only English professors but published writers and authors themselves. And you know, it's always an opportunity for them to develop and hone their skills, and you know, getting young black kids into that. Into that process of taking their writing seriously and really getting feedback on it is something that I, you know, they carved out in this contest, which is another reason why, you know, as Broadside Press, in this new medium, sometimes it's difficult for young people think sometimes that they can just put down what they want on paper. And if they publish it somewhere on the internet or whatever, then it's published and it's accepted.
Right.
And one of the things that, you know, Broadside was built on was, you know, putting your best foot forward, not just anything on paper, but developing your craft and writing. And this contest supports that. It supports that excellence in creativity that Broadside likes. And so, you know, whatever we can do to help further that goal, we know a lot of young people who might want to enter are just getting out of the gate, but they still have something very, very poignant to say that needs to be heard. And so if there's any guidance we can give, we would definitely lend that hand as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for that comment about putting your best foot forward and working in excellence, because that's what we do want for our young people. And so I know the deadline is July 15th. When will the contestants know if they've made it?
They will be notified in August, and then we'll have our actual ceremony at New York University in the fall, somewhere around October, November. And then also the top prize is $1,000 for first place. Second place is $750, and third place is $500. But we're taking the top 20 to 30 presentations, and those students are going to actually be published inside of a piece that we're going to be working with Broadside Lotus Press on.
Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Please let people know again where they can go to find out more information about the Notice to POTUS Essay, Poetry, and Spoken Word Contest.
Notice2POTUS.com. That's N-O-T-I-C-E, the number 2, POTUS, P-O-T-U-S.com.
Wonderful. That's nice and easy to remember. And I want to thank you both so much for being a part of this and for sharing this with our community. And thank you for all you do.
Well,
thank you for the opportunity to lift us up.
And thank you for all that you're doing to keep our voices and the written word out there.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. All right. You all take care. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And I want to thank all of my guests, Edmund Jones of the Nerdy Homecoming King, his new book. You can check him out at that website, thenerdyhomecomingking.com, and definitely Dr. Truman Hudson, Jr. of Be Me Community, and Chris Rutherford of Broadside Lotus Press. Check out the information for the Notice to POTUS, Say POTUS, and Spoken Word Contest at notice2potus.com. And before we sign off, I want to let you know that this Saturday, July 9th at 10 a.m. is the Motown Writers Network's regular second Saturday meetup. The topic of discussion is editing with guest speaker Tanisha Johnson. The meetup is at the Detroit Main Library at 5201 Woodward, and we're on the third floor in the Old Fine Arts Room. And I had so many events to talk about going on this weekend, but you can find out a lot of things on Facebook, and there's never a boring moment in Detroit because there is always something to do, especially literary-wise. And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com. And you can find us on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff with my guest, Tanisha Johnson, to talk about her new book, Grammatically Incorrect, and Diana Plopa of Gray Wolf Publishing talks about their upcoming Summer Book Fest. This has been Andrea Daniel for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there for being there. I do appreciate you, and I want you to have a good rest of your day and live a good story. Good night.